The Loser Podcast.
Where are we going?
The Loser Podcast.
Where are we going?
The Loser Podcast by JD. What the fuck? What's up, everyone? Welcome to Season 5 for Outlast 2. Sorry I'm not starting with a setting, as this is based in the middle of nowhere in Supai, Arizona. I wanted to do this season because a little over 6 months ago, I started this podcast with Outlast 1. And what a better way, half a year later, to add the sequel in. Let's jump into Blake and Lynn Langerman. Blake Langerman is the unseen protagonist of Outlast 2, and the first with a speaking role in the overall series. Together with his wife, Lynn, they go to investigate the murder of a pregnant woman in Supai, Arizona, with Blake acting as the cameraman and Lynn as the reporter. Blake is a well-built adult man with fair skin. Although his adult face is never seen, he wears glasses to correct his sight disorder. And there are photos seen throughout the school of him as a child. Laird also describes him as a man full-grown yet virginal, most beautiful and fair above even the beauty of women. Though this should be taken lightly thanks to the insanity of Laird, in Murkoff Account's epilogue, Blake's face is very briefly seen, revealing that he has fairly medium to short messy black hair with a fringe. Blake sports a green zipped-up hooded jacket featuring four front pockets, two of which he stores his batteries for the camcorder and bandages for medical attention with the jacket sleeves rolled up, just below his elbows with a gray sweater underneath. He also sports an analog watch around his left wrist, dark tan pants, and black combat boots. After the helicopter crash, the sleeves of his jacket and pants become greatly torn, exposing the sustained cuts and bruises, along with the glass on his watch being shattered, rendering it useless. Upon being captured by Laird, Blake is crucified with a hammer and nails in a similar manner to Jesus Christ, leaving holes in both of his hands, which are then covered up with bandages. As a child, Blake Langerman attended a Catholic school with Lynn and Jessica Gray, both of whom he was very close to. Blake has multiple flashbacks to his childhood, specifically one memory where he was playing hide-and-seek with Jessica after school, where they are caught by Father Loudermilch, and Blake is forced to leave while Jessica is, in quotes, lectured. Blake returns upon hearing her scream and finds her bloodied, mangled corpse on the stairs, neck broken as well. It's implied that Loudermilch killed Jessica and forced Blake to keep quiet and help him cover it up as a suicide, crippling him with guilt for the rest of his life. Blake was probably born in the years between 1985 and 1986, which makes him somewhere around 27 and 28 about this time. Blake is a completely average man, twisted by guilt over Jessica's death, endlessly and vividly haunted by it, despite its happening decades ago. He is passionately dedicated to his wife, willing to go through absolute hell just to save her. It can be theorized that his failure to save Jessica is what motivates his obsessive want to succeed in saving Lynn instead. He even accidentally calls Lynn Jess more times than once, and by the end of the game doesn't even bother correcting himself, as if Lynn is Jessica to him. Otherwise, he's a devout Catholic and a very respectful, polite man to Ethan even after his death, but is above all else indomitably willed and determined. He also gains a sarcastic attitude towards his situation, consistently making snarky quips similar to Miles. His recordings eventually devolve into insane, nonsensical ramblings, however, making it clear that his sanity is almost non-existent by the end of the game. He even starts talking like a child, referring to the authorities as grown-ups, for example. Blake's faith in God and religion are not fully explored. The fact that he went to a Catholic school seems to have little effect on his personality as an adult. Aside from repeating a saying that his teacher told him about the music of birds being proof God loves the world, it's unlikely going to a religious school like St. Sybil was Blake's choice. Given his young age and having a negative viewpoint on Christian role models like Loudermilch, who sexually abused and murdered his close friend, Blake is undoubtedly shaken by the many horrific acts he witnesses traversing Temple Gate into the cult's name of God, both committed by the Testament and the Heretics. He develops a deriding attitude towards their faith, often making sarcastic comments and once referring to Marta as your God, showing he considers the cult's participation of the Almighty differs from what Blake believes him to be, due to their fanatic beliefs and monstrous actions in the name of God, opposed to the compassionate and loving deity he was taught about when he was young. After Ethan's death, though Blake hopes he and his daughter find each other, displaying his belief in the afterlife. By the end, Blake gains an absolute perspective of the cult war being between heretics and the Testament, claiming that loving and hating God is the same thing. Now, Lynn Langerman is an investigative journalist and the wife of Blake Langerman. She was born between the same years as Blake, making her around the same age. Lynn appears as a slim woman with brown eyes and brown hair, worn in a ponytail. She wears a dark olive green safari shirt with the sleeves rolled up, unbuttoned to reveal a light green tank top underneath, as well as gray jeans, black belt, and matching boots. Lynn attended St. Sybil's, a Catholic school in her youth, and is close friends with Jessica Gray and Blake Langerman. Jessica helped hook Blake and Lynn up shortly before being killed by Loudermilch, which haunts Blake to his adulthood. Not much else can be said about her background, unfortunately, but Lynn went on to marry Blake and became an investigative journalist, venturing with her cameraman husband to investigate the murder of a Jane Doe, who was found 8 months pregnant on the side of the road. Their trail leads them to the Arizona desert near the remote town Temple Gate. Since the area is not accessible by road, the two had to take a helicopter, which ends up crashing in a narrow ravine from unspecified complications. Temple Gate's cultist residents, the Testament of the New Ezekiel, pull Lynn and the pilot from the wreckage, impale the pilot on a tree, and flay him alive before dragging Lynn deep into the town. She is taken to one of the chapels, the home of their high priest and prophet Sullivan Noth, who examines her and deduces she's in labor, and her womb is home to the Antichrist despite not even being pregnant. It is unknown what exactly the examination entailed, but Lynn's extreme defensiveness over it when questioned by her husband indicates it was sexual assault based. Now with the cult wanting her dead before she can deliver, Lynn escapes the chapel and meets up with Blake. They run into the nearby forest, but are halted when Lynn's stomach is struck with a violent pain that cripples her, as if she's actually going into labor, like the clearly insane cult believes. A splinter cell of the cult that instead wants the Antichrist birth, called the Heretics, jumped the couple after they were attacked by Noth's followers. Their leader, Val, chokes Lynn out before licking her unconscious body and having her dragged to the mines. After hours of preparation among a sick underground ritual, a fully formed baby somehow spawns in Lynn's stomach and she's minutes from giving birth. Blake breaks her out of the mines, using the Testaments and the Heretics' civil war as a distraction, and guides her through a thunderstorm. They narrowly avoid being slain by the Testament enforcer, Marta, due to the chapel's cross being ripped from its roof by a bolt of lightning and impaling her. Lynn and Blake stumble into the chapel and Lynn gives birth atop a torture rack, immediately dying of blood loss. Her last words to her husband are, "There was nothing there." Several hours after the massacre at Temple Gate, Pauline Glick and several Murkoff Corporation agents investigate the aftermath. Among the bodies discovered are Noth and Lynn, who an agent correctly assumes that she is not one of the villagers. Pauline then identifies her with a photograph of her. Upon being asked by the agent about how she identified her, Pauline explains that Lynn had visited the hospital to investigate Ann Lee's murder a week prior to the incident at Temple Gate, and angrily states that it was Paul Marion's responsibility to prevent Lynn and Blake from discovering Temple Gate. I hope you enjoyed the episode and plan to come back again. Follow or on other platforms, subscribe to help this community grow even bigger and leave a review to let me know how I'm doing. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram to chat with me and see pictures of all the characters I talk about. Also, if you have not yet, please consider being a patron and support me there for ways to help make episodes have better quality, help for merchandise, and giveaways for all of you. Well, that's it for me, ladies and gents. I'll catch you all in the next episode. But until then, bye!